Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Thursday, April 11th, 2024, and you are listening to episode 15 of the Carlos Whitaker Podcast. Welcome to another week. This week, I am specifically talking to you individually. When I say that, I don't want you to think I'm speaking to thousands of people at one time. What I want you to do is I want you to imagine Carlos is talking directly to me. This is a very personal conversation that is in direct response to a question box I put up on my Instagram yesterday. And I basically, what I loved about this question box was that I asked all of the Insta Familia if I could talk to you for 10 minutes, if we could have a conversation one-on-one, what would you want to talk about? Lots of incredible conversations you wanted to have. You want to talk about parenting. You want to talk about relationships. You wanted to talk about faith. You wanted to talk about politics, the election coming up. You want to talk about a whole bunch. But one thing that kept rising to the top, and also all of your responses are going to be placed in a spreadsheet by Whitney from Wisconsin. And I want to lean into all these conversations. Conversations that, to be honest with you, I haven't necessarily had the capacity to lean into the last few months of my life, that I feel like I'm starting to, my head's starting to be able to rise above water to be able to speak to some of these important things, things that you find important. My hat, I've got to fix my hat. It feels crooked. Is it crooked on YouTube? Hello? Okay. And so today I want to speak into something that rose to the top pretty quickly when I was looking through all of the answers. Here we go. I'm just opening this one. How do you still go to church? Question mark. I'm not sure how to put trust in those people again. Maybe that should be the title of this podcast. How do you still go to church, Carlos? I'm not sure how to put trust in those people again. That is the heartbeat church, reconciliation within my church hurt, changing church after 15 years, not trusting the last one. I'm just reading here. I'm curious about what happened with you at Barry. Oh, I don't know what that means. But I'm looking at a lot of how do I trust the church again? I've been wounded by the church. How do I, you know, and I feel like you're asking me to talk about that because you see that I go to church and I love my church, but you also know that I have not shied away from speaking about in the last 4 years, how I feel like maybe the church had some missteps in 2020, not only in 2020, but probably in 1980 and 1950 and 1870, like, this thing called the church, how do we put trust in a thing that is not perfect? How do we trust it again? So, I mean, a lot of this conversation, I think you're asking me because you trust me that I'm not going to give you the answer like the church is made of people and people aren't perfect. And if people aren't perfect, then you're never going to find a perfect church. So you just need to trust what God has placed in front of us. Like, that's not the answer I'm going to give you, just so you know. Because like, although I do believe that the word trauma has been hijacked, not by everybody, but I know that people are using trauma, I think, and they're lessening the impact of what true trauma is. I do feel like there's people that have been traumatized by the church. And when I say by the church, I do want to be clear that I am speaking of people in the church, which are leading the church. Which therefore, if those are the ones that are doing the wounding, why would you not believe that the church is the thing that is involved in your wounding? I can go down that path. I can see where you're talking about. Let me just go with me for a moment. So let's go back to 2020 for me, when I feel like that was when a lot of people began to wonder. And the reason why we began to wonder about the church and its role in our lives is because a place that was really safe for many of us became very unsafe. And let me tell you why. It became unsafe because we all went through something that we've never gone through before. And when you go through something that you've never gone through before, collectively as humanity, 9 times out of 10, you're going to have to figure your way out of it. And when you're figuring your way out of it, what that does is it really brings to the surface intentions. And I mean, you can take that for, you know, you can look at any aspect of your life. When you're figuring out how to get through something that's hard, you will see maybe more true colors coming out of you than if you're just on vacation, right? Like that's when you're going to see who you are rise to the surface. And what we saw, I think what a lot of people saw, was maybe some true colors of some leaders in church contexts that began to rise to the surface. Whereas you'd been in a church for a long time that maybe was helping you grow spiritually, helping you fall in love with who Jesus is. And then suddenly in 2020, because we went through something kind of global collective trauma together, we can use that word as trauma. That 2020 can definitely, that checks all the boxes, okay? You may have started to see your church begin to talk about things other than Jesus and other than the work of Holy Spirit more than they talked about Jesus, and more than they talked about the Holy Spirit, and more than they talked about the things that they'd literally only talked about up until that point. And so that's when a lot of us began to be like, why are pastors talking about politics more than they're talking about Jesus? And so that began the unraveling for a lot of us of the safety that we felt. Now, let me go ahead and tell you, like, for me, no church is perfect. My church isn't perfect. My church isn't perfect because I go to my church. So I'm sure there's other people that aren't perfect that go to my church, but since I stepped in there, it's no longer perfect. And my church didn't do things perfectly. My pastors would tell you that. But man, do I appreciate the integrity that my pastors had in continuing to point us towards the ways of Jesus and the way of Holy Spirit, and allowing us as congregants. I think they would challenge us, yet allow us to feel safe in those challenges. I was challenged a whole lot in that season. And I just really appreciate the way my pastors went about it. There's a lot of you where your pastors didn't go about it that way. And there's a lot of you that season where church got really political is the thing that drove you out of it and caused you to run. And that is a fair and human thing that you felt. And it is a fair and human response of you leaving. I want to let you know, I can't tell you individually who you are listening to this. If that was a decision that you made hastily, I can't tell you if that is a decision that you made in anger. I can't tell you those things. But what I can tell you is that if a place feels unsafe, normally what's going to happen is you are going to leave that place. So I know that's where a lot of you are at. And I think the questions that, what was the first one that I read? That the questions that I had coming in on how in the world can you, I got to find it again. But I mean, the idea was, how in the world can you trust the church again after what it did? Let me tell you, okay? I literally have some, this is going to be practical. I've got some practical advice that I kind of threw together. And there was actually this one book that I didn't read the whole book, but I read a little bit of it. And it was asking some good questions about trust in general, not necessarily trusting the church. But I guess the first thing I want you to know is that, you know, none of us were able to choose. I mean, think about it. Like when you were born, you weren't able to choose your family, right? Like you got what you got. You got your mom, you got your dad, you got your siblings. That is what you got. The cool thing about a church family is you get to choose. So like, I think to myself, if we all got to actually choose our family, what are some questions that you would ask? I mean, think about it. Let's think about it for a second. If now I would choose the family that I have, but Heather just said thanks. But the questions I would ask, okay, what are some of these questions that I would ask? Okay, if we get to make a decision to join a family, right? Like my son didn't have a decision to join my family when we adopted him. If he could have like interviewed us, maybe these are questions that you would be asking, right? Do people in my family actually care about me? It's a great question to ask. I would want to join a family where I know that they care about me. These are questions I think that are important to ask when, if you're deciding to join a family, right? How do people in this family respond to mistakes? It's a great question to ask. Do they respond in anger? Do they respond in shame? Like these are questions that you should be asking when it's time, when you feel like it's time. And for some of you, it may not be time because healing takes time. God can heal you instantaneously, but for many, many of us, healing takes time. So if you're healed instantaneously, and you prayed for that healing and you feel healed, then you can go to church next week and you can ask some of these questions. If you don't feel healed yet, then I don't think you have to go next week. But these are questions to be asking yourself, okay? This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, friends, you know how much I believe in therapy. I feel like I talk about it every other show, and BetterHelp is the place where you can find therapy for you at an affordable place and online. I know that a lot of you think that therapy is just for when things are bad, but can I tell you, you can also have therapy when things are good as well. What I like to view therapy as is it's giving me a tool belt for when I am up against a problem. You don't have to be inside of the problem for therapy to be helpful for you. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Okay. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. And guess what? You can switch therapists if it's not vibing anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/humanhope today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/humanhope. It is important for me that I'm putting into my body things that my body wants. And that's why for a few years, I have been drinking AG1. So listen, unlike a lot of supplement brands, AG1 conducts relentless testing to set the standard for purity and potency. So good. AG1 is constantly searching for how to do things better. At 52 iterations of their formula and counting, their team is always making AG1 even better. It's researched and developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of experience in their respective fields. Okay, so listen, I know I can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because they obsess over quality. They are obsessive. It's also simple, okay? Taking care of our health shouldn't be complicated, and AG1 simplifies it by legitimately replacing multiple health supplements like multivitamins, digestive aids, immune support, and more in just one simple scoop or one simple packet. Okay. What I love about AG1 is also the probiotics they put in there. Probiotics for me, very important because of the digestive enzymes that help support my gut. So I've partnered with AG1 for a long time because they make such a high quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. If you want to replace your multivitamins and more, start with AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/human hope. That's drinkag1.com/human hope. Check it out. Are people in this, in my family, or in this family, are people in this family, harsh or soft? Like, are there edges, harsh or soft? Literally ask these questions. Okay. How about this one? Is this family more focused on themselves or on the well-being of each other? Big one. I read that and I think, man, that's something I need to work on. Like, if my family got to choose to be in my family, the ones that are my kids and my wife, even my mom and dad, like, do they feel like I care more about myself or them? I'm real selfish. And so that's something that I think, man, I should work on that. But ask that question. Very, very important. Oh, here's a good one. Ready? Does this family that I'm thinking about joining value honesty or appearance more? Right? Again, take that in whatever direction you want when it comes to your experience in church. But I think that's a valid and very important question. You know, and I think of my, so let me just go to my church, the Belonging. Does this family value honesty or appearances more? I definitely feel like my church values honesty. But valuing honesty does not mean allowing the person, if they're being honest, to remain in a place of destruction, right? So like, just again, you got, I want to take every question that I'm asking and just take it a step or two farther. I don't want, like, I'd love to be able to go to my church and be like, I'm struggling with this, and they're going to value that honesty. But I also hope that I'm going to value them desiring to pull me out of whatever place that I'm in, if it is leading to destructive things in my life. Okay? Am I making sense? Hopefully. Does being with this family strengthen my faith? Is it strengthening your faith or is it not? Questions to be asking. How about this? I mean, like basic stuff. Does being with this family that I'm choosing make me feel uplifted and hopeful? Or does it make me feel down and heavy? Valid questions to be asking. Hopefully if and when you go back to church, you find a church that can make you feel uplifted and hopeful. And I'm also letting everybody know that those churches actually still do exist. And I would actually say, okay, and this is probably optimistic, Carlos. Okay, some of you may think this is super optimistic, and that's fine, because that's who I am. But I actually think most churches are this. And I think there's a few bad ones. And I feel like, as in everything, the few bad ones get the majority of the eyeballs. But there are a lot of healthy churches. There are. Last question. Okay. Do I feel increasingly accepted and valued as part of this family? Great questions to ask. Okay. So again, that's just in general. Like, if you were getting to choose a family, those are questions that you would be asking. And so those are things that I feel like are great initial questions to ask. Now, when many of you are thinking of going back, the biggest question that you have is, I feel like a lot of people want to find pastors these days in churches that are just going to, you are going to just agree with their political perspective. Can I tell you something? That it is possible to attend a loving church where you vote differently than your pastor. I need to let you know that is not only possible, but I think that actually should be, I think we should all be able to attend churches that we feel like we can be led by somebody that votes differently than us. And I know some of you, that is such a triggering idea that you're not at a place where that can happen. And if that is going to be your kind of litmus test for finding a church, I would press on is to not let that be the only decision-making point. Because I mean, I'll be honest with you again, I don't know how my pastors vote, and I'm kind of grateful for that. They're actually my friends as well. You know, they know how I would. Oh, maybe they don't actually, now think about it. Actually, I think a lot of people probably don't. But I would just hesitate to make that the only thing. And I know for lots of you, you've left the church because your pastors were overbearing on the fact that they are telling you who to vote for. We're going to be changing churches every 4 years if this is the case. Politics have become a lot of people's gods. And I would love for us to pull that out of the equation as much as we can. And before you DM me or respond and say, well, no, Carlos, how people vote is what they believe, and what they believe is who they vote for is how they want or going to treat people. I just know too many people that vote differently than me that are super loving and accepting. And we just have a different way of looking at the world through different windows of the same room. So, okay, that's just me being like a little bit pushy on you, like pushing on some of your, you know, trying to lightly push on some of those scabs as they heal. That I believe that you can find a church where the pastor is views politics differently than you, and you can still be led closer to Jesus. Is the church preaching Jesus? Is the church teaching you how to listen to the voice of God, to read scripture, to hear from God and be directed by God and Holy Spirit? These are things that are important. Or is it just a church that is telling you A plus B equals C? These are five strategies to a better marriage. I just think that now I have grown in my ability to understand that God is more than like just a dictator, like a rule God. Like he still speaks to us. Are you at a church where they're teaching you that the voice of God is more influential than the voice of your pastor? They want you to hear from God more than they want you to hear from them. These are very, very important things. So people over position. Does your church value every person that is there over just the people that have quote unquote high positions in the church? I think there is an order to church leadership. I think that is important. But are the people that are running the parking lot being valued as much as the people that are on stage? Are the janitors that are cleaning the bathrooms on Sundays valued just as much as those that are small group leaders? You can see this stuff quickly. Okay. I think that's important. I think that's something that is maybe missing from a lot of churches that you were part of. Like, is there a balance, okay, in all aspects of your walk, right? Like, are they just focused on certain giftings, right? Like certain giftings have more value to the church than other giftings. Like, is there a balance when it comes to people's giftings in your church? And are they celebrating those things? One of the things I love about our pastors, again, I just have them to use for context, is like the first time I ended up going to our church, I was actually in a season of church hurt when we started coming to the Belonging. And You know, I was really callous towards music and worship in general. And when we first went in, we were kind of sitting in the middle on the right-hand side. And Heather saw our pastor, Alex, she was kind of talking to people, working her way towards us. And Heather just kept thinking, if Carlos can just have a touch from her, like just look her in the eye, face, because she just looks. Heather, I don't even know if you knew her at this point. No, you didn't know her at all. Like, we didn't know how amazing she was as a person. She just knew that I needed to be seen as a person by the pastor. And I loved that the pastor wasn't hiding in a green room. She was out just talking to people. And of course, like, she could probably get overwhelmed and probably does get overwhelmed on Sundays when people that just want her to talk to her and pray for her and all of those things. But that, and so she probably has guardrails to make sure that she's emotionally available to preach her messages. But she's out with the people and she is praying for people and she's looking people in the eye and she's just a pastor of the people. People over position. Such a good way to say it. Look for that in a church. Americans spend an average of 90% of their time indoors and take about 20,000 breaths a day. Guess what? That indoor air you're breathing, it is 2 to 5 times more polluted than the outdoor air. So this isn't going to be a commercial about you going outside and breathing all the time, because we got to be inside. What do we do to make the air better inside that we are breathing? What is the solution? Well, it's Air Doctor. Air Doctor filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes pollutants such as allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and so much more. Here's the cool thing. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day breathe easy money back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus the shipping. Head to Air Doctor Pro and use my promo code HUMANHOPE. You'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers exclusive to podcast customers. You will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock in the special offer by going to AirDoctorPro.com and use promo code HUMANHOPE. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. That's a lot. So if you're looking for somebody to come join your team, ditch all of the busy work and use Indeed for scheduling. That's right. They'll screen. That's right. And they'll even message so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. Check this out. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality. That's what we're looking for. Matches compared to other job sites. One of the things I love about Indeed is actually the user interface. You are not going to have 15,000 tabs that you have to click on in order to figure it out. Indeed is such a beautiful site to navigate, and it makes it so much easier. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/HumanHope. Just go to Indeed.com/HumanHope right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/HumanHope. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Encounter over entertainment. Is entertainment bad? No, I don't think so. I think that, I don't know. I think probably Jesus, you know, if someone was like playing a harp when Jesus was hanging out, he probably enjoyed it. Probably entertaining. What, babe? Well, I mean, yeah, just think about it. Jesus is like, it's not like Jesus was like, wasn't for entertainment, but is encountering Jesus more important than entertaining you? There's different styles of worship. There's different styles of music. There's different styles of church. I don't think there's one that's better than another. But if there's not a higher value on taking you to a place where you can encounter Jesus as opposed to just entertaining you. And again, I honestly don't think there's wrong with entertainment unless that entertainment is being used to manipulate. There's a whole other conversation there. There's a whole other conversation of actually my friend, Taylor, just, see if I can find his Instagram. He just posted something on Instagram that I was like, oh my gosh. Like, and this is actually a keyboard player in my church. And this is just a snippet. He was talking about the altar call. And, oh yeah, I have opinions on altar calls. The problem with altar calls is Jesus never gave one. This is what he said. And it's a pretty hot take, but he's got a YouTube video that goes a little deeper. But I want to actually play this. Taylor, I'm going to play this on my podcast, so I'm sorry if more people listen to this than you want. Here we go.
And the problem with altar calls is Jesus never gave one. Yeah, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have altar calls at all, but I'm saying like this theatrical type of like, why are we manufacturing? So you know what Jesus did? He'd be like, here's how the kingdom of heaven works. Then he'd walk away. And people would like chase him down and be like, how must I be saved? What do I do? The gospel is its own conversion tool. It didn't require Jesus to be like, one second, cue Hans Zimmer, put a pad on, please. Let's set a table and a feast so that this is conducive for salvation. Mm. That doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
You just had to be like, here's what is true. And then he left.
Okay. So you heard that, right? He says that Jesus never gave an altar call. Jesus never. Now he's saying, I'm not sure that people or that we shouldn't give altar calls, but he maybe has a problem with the theatrical version of an altar call. And then what Taylor, and you just heard him, but he's saying Jesus would just say, he would give them the truth and he would walk away and then people would want more of it. Now, I want you to hear that because I think that there is, there's something actually important about what he's saying, not to manipulate people. But then my friend Clark Beckham, who also goes to my church, Taylor and Clark go to the same church with me, wrote this in a comment. Okay. And so Clark, again, I don't know if you want everybody to hear this, but I'm just going to, I mean, you put it on Instagram, so it's public. So Clark replies to Taylor, who Taylor has a hot take when it comes to altar calls. He's like, I just don't know if we need them. And then Clark responds to this. This is what I think is very valuable in relationships with people that go to the same church that have different views on things. Clark says, this is a hot take, but from a receive salvation standpoint, I'm pretty much on board. The repeat after me salvation has always felt hollow to me if it ends there. Where I'm very pro altar call is when people come forward for the laying on of hands and prayer. And sometimes people who want to give their life to Jesus want and need that. Biblically, there's a lot of support for the power of laying on of hands. Some of my most impactful moments in my life have been at an altar in those scenarios. It also can be a way to get us out of the, I'm part of the crowd when service is over, let's get lunch environment. There's power in that step. But what you're saying about imitating Jesus, who gave truth and knowing that's enough without having to conjure an emotional atmosphere from the pad, the main stage, I get that. Right. And then so, okay. So also, so you know, Taylor has a fuller YouTube video. Maybe we can put that in the show notes where he's unpacking some of these. I'm actually not quite sure why he's got all these hot takes on his Instagram page right now, but he does. And this is one of them. And we all three go to the same church and we probably have different perspectives. But let me tell you my perspective on that. Cause I think a lot of people maybe shy away from going back to church because you feel like they're manipulating you emotionally with the music. And they're manipulating you like with, you know, Clark said it in his comment with the pads. And well, but here's the thing, like, why can't we use music and our emotions to help us encounter the presence of God? Like if you keep going down that path, you know, you, and some of you may be there, but you may end up in a religion that doesn't allow music at all. And so when I am, some of my most connected moments have been through music with God. And so, you know, it may, for you, it may have been at a U2 concert or a Coldplay concert. I mean, I don't know who the new, this is definitely aging me. Babe, do you know who's new, a band that makes people feel emotional? Lizzie or something? I don't know. But I don't think that music is, I think music is created by God. So why do we say that it's manipulating our emotions when our emotions are moved by something that God created for man to do for the purpose of moving our emotions? Like legitimately, God gave creativity to a man to create a guitar, or a woman, I don't know who created the, but to create a guitar so that the guitar can make sounds that move us emotionally that can connect to God, because I think he's the creator of all music. So I just think we can get, sometimes we can get a little too judgmental on music being something that helps people connect with God. I went on a little too far of a tangent on that one, but it is what it is. Okay. Let's go with the last one here. Jesus over everything. I just want you to find a church, if it's time for you to go back, where, and you can, the great thing about churches these days is you can watch their YouTube videos and listen to their podcast. Are they talking about Jesus 99.99% of the time? Or are they talking about behavior modification? I just know that the power of Jesus and the power of Holy Spirit is the thing that will be the convicting factor in my life. It's not going to be a sermon from stage convicting me of something. It is going to be me being led to scripture where Holy Spirit convicts me. And I say this in my How to Human talk, that it is not the role of Christians to convict the world of their sin. Specifically in scripture, it says that is the role of Holy Spirit. And now I'm not saying if you're in a relationship with somebody that you can't have hard conversations with them, but I'm just telling you that's the role of the church should be Jesus over everything. So how do you use these? I think to the question of how do I trust the church again? I think you use these things as your kind of guardrails, right? That's going to keep you on the path of searching towards a healthy church. And some of you hear me, it's not time. It's not time. It's not time for some of you. And hear me, it may not ever be time for you to go back to a version of church like you've been at before. There's a lot of different iterations and a lot of different fleshing out of what church looks like. But at the end of the day, where I come from is church was Jesus's idea, wasn't ours. And so I want to find a church that matches what Jesus's idea was. I mean, he literally calls the church his bride, right? And you know, I had a conversation with a friend of mine named Ashley once where she's like, well, I just don't feel like the American church looks like the bride that Jesus is talking about. Fair. Okay. But there are some that I think to you can look like that. I want you to be filled with hope, in this season of searching for a church again. Let's end with a couple more, I think positive, like maybe four or five, like positive ways to look for churches, positive principles that you can find in churches. Number one is leadership focusing on empowering and equipping you to serve, right? And is leadership serving? Boom. Look for that. Number two, are the believers in the church actively pursuing their faith? Are they actively pursuing their faith, or are they actively pursuing conversations that have nothing to do with their faith? Right? Is it just like a country club that where you're trying to, like, you know, motivational talks to make you like live your best life now? Or is it literally actively, are the people in the church actively pursuing their faith? Number three, are they united in diversity in the church? I think that's a very important thing. Are churches united in diversity? I'm not saying that your church, the church you go to, has to like look a certain way, like diverse. Like, listen, there's such thing as black church and there's such thing as white church. There's people that have like certain draws towards a certain style of worship. Okay. So like, I'm not saying that, but in how they speak and talk about people and in how they serve people, are they serving and are they in relationship with a diverse group of people? And you can take diverse to mean whatever you want it to mean. I think that's important. And then I think lastly, finding a church that has open communication and honesty as a core value. Too many secrets. Are those there? This kind of was all over the place, but I kind of hoped for it to be, because I was kind of unpacking my journey when it comes to this. And I really hope that, for those of you, that are asking that question that, you know, this isn't going to like give you an answer. I don't think there's a straightforward answer. I think you would have found it a long time ago and you would have been back in church a long time ago. Healing takes time. And some of you, it's not time yet. Some of you, it is. Some of you, maybe it's past time. What I wanted to do was give you maybe some pillars as you're looking for that safe place again that you can find. Yeah, that's it. I love you and I believe in you. And I believe that your trauma and your pain is real. And I also believe that God's healing is real and it's possible. And I've experienced it and I think you can too. So that's it. Hey, Dr. Delight. That was fun. Thanks for pushing me towards that conversation. I haven't had it in that way before. So that's it. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Carlos Whitaker Podcast. If you think that this is going to help one of your friends, I would appreciate for you to share it with them. I'd love to hear their perspective as well. Listening to the show, sharing the show obviously helps a lot. I want to keep doing this show for you. I want to continue to dive into these conversations that you want to have as well. I am 40 something days away, 42 days away now, 44 or 5 days from my daughter getting married. So there may be some more Father of the Bride episodes coming up. I look forward to hanging out with you on Instagram the rest of this weekend. And I'll see you next week on another episode of the Carlos Whitaker Podcast. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Every single spring, that first day that I walk outside and I see that yellow dust all over my truck, I'm like, that is Satan's dandruff. It destroys me. I legitimately can't go outside for longer than 3 minutes because my eyes get swollen, my eyes get puffy, my nose gets congested, and I just simply can't breathe. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so that you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. When I started taking Claritin D about 2 months ago, I can finally get back outside and play pickleball again, which is what I love to do, but I couldn't do it because my allergies were so bad. Claritin D has legitimately allowed me to go outside again. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.